Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Every Sunday morning at 9, join me, Pete Evans, for Spinning Jazz on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM. Each week we'll be exploring the wonderful world of modern jazz. From hard bop to bossa nova, from Latin to soul. That's Spinning Jazz, Sunday mornings at 9 on Sheffield Live.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what, I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3, here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Hello, I'm Harry Wilburn. I present Steel & Wire every Wednesday, 10 AM. Americana, bluegrass, American roots, and more. Lots of guests, lots of local music and musicians. That's Steel & Wire, Wednesday, 10 AM.
You are listening to fabulous Harry Wilburn on Steel & Wire.
It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
If you love new music and you want to discover the best new artists out there, then tune into The Backroom with me, Paddy. I'll be playing the best of new indie, electro, EDM and punk and showcasing new Sheffield talent. Also music news, local and national gig guide and new album releases. So tune into The Backroom every Thursday night between 6 and 7 PM here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
This is Sheffield Live.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the film show on Sheffield Live. I'm Martin.
And
Hello.
Afternoon.
Yes.
It's a sunny day in Sheffield.
It is, although the lights aren't working in the studio.
Yes, it's really bright outside and we're in darkness.
All I can say is today's show is something of a work in progress. We're putting this together almost as the show goes out.
Who would think we might make it up as we go along?
I know. I mean, we've got a team of writers who should have been putting all this together this week.
But
here
off.
We are. Right. So we've got a few bits of news. The cast has been confirmed for the four film Beatles collection of films.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier this year, didn't we?
And now it's pretty much what was rumoured to be the cast. So Sam Mendes is directing four individual films about the Beatles. I'm assuming that is one for each member of the band. Harris Dickinson is playing John. Paul Mescal is playing Paul. Barry Keoghan is Ringo. And Joseph Quinn is George. There you go.
Okay. The Guardian did a piece, didn't they, getting the knickers in a twist about none of them being from Liverpool.
None of them being from Liverpool. No, seriously.
Not eh?
Well, that'd be Stephen Graham playing all four of them, wouldn't it?
He's ever so busy, isn't he? He
is. He is. I am a Beatles-free person. It means absolutely nothing to me. I can't get excited about it.
No, that's Ultravox.
For you?
No, Vienna.
Vienna.
I've always liked the Beatles, but I just, I like you, I can't really get enthused about this idea.
And it's
seen
bring
a
those,
lot of Beatles films. Yeah, and
it's just going to bring all those Beatles completists. Well, I didn't get that right. No, you know, he didn't play that guitar when he was in Hamburg. On that. Yeah, all right, okay.
It is one for each member.
Yeah.
I really like Harris Dickinson. He was in the
Baby
Triangle.
Girl, wasn't it? And Triangle of Sadness.
And Joseph Quinn's an interesting casting because I think we knew about Paul Mescal and Barry Keoghan already.
Yes, their names have been attached for a bit, haven't they?
But Joseph Quinn's quite an interesting casting. He was a big hit in Stranger Things. So there's a certain demographic audience there that might be attracted to the film as a result of that.
I'll just be... As I've said, I'm in a trough of despair at the moment.
Snap out of it, Martin. Come on. You love the movies.
I'll tell you more later where I am with it. You've got a bit of news about the... Tilda Swinton.
The lovely Tilda. Well, Tilda Swinton, who is, an artist in her own right, she's getting her own museum exhibition in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
But it's... come on, Martin. Come on. Snap out of it. They're going to present Tilda Swinton Ongoing, and it invites fans to, and I quote... into her world, acting as the actor's autobiography told through the artistic collaborations that have helped shape her career. And, of course, she's worked with a lot of fashion and film icons herself.
Yes.
So it will feature work from five directors. Pedro Almodovar, big fan of his. Luca Guadagnino.
Michael Bay.
Joanna Hogg, your particular favourite. Jim Jarmusch, and save the best production till last, Apichatchpong Weerasethakul.
Oh, yeah, she's made some films with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There'll be archive material from the late filmmaker Derek Jarman as well.
Yeah.
I'd like a trip to Amsterdam.
She did this exhibition where she was
sleeping
in this...
Yes, she's not new to the exhibition
casket.
You went to that, didn't you?
I went to that. I think it was the Serpentine Gallery, or it was just her laying there asleep. Yeah, you know, I could do that job.
Yes,
I would have done that job.
If you had done that job, would people have come to pay to see it? No.
I think so.
No.
I think you're wrong.
I mean, I'm one of your biggest fans, Martin, and I would not have come to that exhibition.
Well, you can see me just lying asleep here. Is it most Saturday lunchtime?
Yeah, most times when I put the playlist together, you have a bit of a nap, don't you? Another musical.
Some more Carol Burnett, great. Wake me up when she's finished.
But in seriousness, I think that is a lovely, it's an interesting idea.
So you'll be going?
A September trip to Amsterdam. Why not?
What more can you say? A bit of trailer trash, although it's not very good.
Well, this...
I was bitterly disappointed.
So this is the Naked Gun. And it's a sequel, because...
No, I think it's more... I'm saying it's a reimagining or a reboot.
No, no, it's a proper sequel because...
Oh, because he's...
In the trailer...
Frank Drebin's
son. Leslie Nielsen sounds a bit like Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson, who has a particular that's set of skills.
That's been the casting concept behind this. Right, so, yeah. Okay.
Sounds a bit like. So in the trailer, there's like a big bank robbery going on and a little girl approaches the bank and a copper's saying, little girl, little girl. And she goes in and, of course, the bank robbery in progress, little girl walks in and takes her mask off. She's big old Liam Neeson.
Who possesses a certain set of skills.
Gives you a certain idea where this film's going.
Yeah. And it's all CGI. And, you know, Police Squad / Naked Gun should be completely naff. It should have the production
values. Yeah, but it's
values.
Not the 80s anymore or the 90s.
Let's go back to the 80s. It's they're getting popular again. It looks like everything else, doesn't it?
I'm afraid so, yeah. But there is a scene in the trailer where all of the characters in this film look towards a portrait of their fathers, who are the stars of. And then there's quite a, how do we do this awkward moment where it's some O.J. Simpson. Yes. And the actor just goes, no.
Moving on. So there you go. You can look out for that one at your local cinema factory.
Or I thought you were going to say actual peril then.
Yeah. I think I'll be waiting for that one to come out on VHS, I think.
We got anything else? We have.
We've got some other stuff, but we'll do that after our first piece of music.
Ah, it's your turn this week, isn't it?
It is, and
you've gone for something a bit chirpier than last week.
Oh, last week I went home and I just drank heavily.
That's what I do after most shows.
Drinking during it was a show. So I've finally decided to grapple with my overspilling collection of books, music, DVDs and whatnot, and start sorting it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that normally means I spend all day going around something, and I may have two or three DVDs that I might take down to Oxfam at the end of the day.
And then 6 years of...
I forgot I had that. Oh, I must watch that again. And it's
like when I sort through photos and I end up looking at loads of photos and don't actually do anything with them.
Yeah. You have all these good intentions, don't you? So I chanced upon someone who hadn't watched their films for a couple of years, the Italian director Paolo Sorrentino, who's probably best known for The Great Beauty from about 12 years ago. Yeah. But he's made about half a dozen feature films, which are immensely stylish, cover sort of such topics as, you know, the mafia, political corruption, and feature in almost every film hordes of gyrating Italian models dancing around swimming
this
pools.
This sounds like it's got my name on it, Martin.
So there's going to be a few up ones on this. And I must admit, watching so many of them all at once, I just thought I was in this swimming pool by the end of the week. Anyway, he does use music quite brilliantly, and he doesn't have music composed for his films. He tends to use pop music, classical music, and put it into his films. And quite often he uses a great piece early on in the film to get you into the mood. And so we're going to kick off with a piece which opens his second feature, The Family Friend. And this is Anthony and the Johnsons and My Lady's Story. That was the Richard Chamberlain one. We went out of order.
Oh dear. Oh no.
Hang on.
This is the fifth week in a row that we've done a technical doodah.
I meant to do it.
It says here. Yeah. What happened
here
was, before the show, I said to Martin, shall we change the order a bit? Oh, no. Oh, dearie me. We've had some... I'm going to have to take off my headphones and come round there.
No, I'm ready to go. All right. I'm ready to go. Right, here we go.
Here's two.
Anthony and the Johnsons, My Lady's Story, from family friend.
My lady's story, my lady's story, my lady's story is one of annihilation. My lady's story is one of breast amputation. My lady's story, my lady's story. Now I'm a hole in love, I'm a bride on fire. I'm a twisted tune in a star of wire. My lady's story, my lady's story. Lion road for you, and I've been your slave. My womb's an ocean full of grief and rage. Got nothing to give you.
We're back.
Oh.
I had a long sort of silent fade out. And I'll have to go back to try and sort out the CD in a bit. But first, we have two sad losses. Just letting that resonate for a bit. Richard Chamberlain, who I have to admit I thought was long dead.
No, he was just retired and living his best life.
I thought he'd gone years ago, but hey, I was wrong. So Richard Chamberlain, probably most well known for being Dr. Kildare.
That was his big television superstar break, wasn't it?
Yeah, back in the early 60s, huge, internationally popular TV show.
And he became people keep calling him in his obituaries a teen idol as a result of that as well, because I think he also had a short recording career as well.
Well, as you may well find out in a few moments, due to the extensive research I've been doing.
But he was kind of, for a while, the king of the miniseries, wasn't he, really? Because he would be... There was Shogun.
Yes, he should have had this in the 60s. It was like network television in the States.
Yeah, and then a film career in the 70s.
And some of it quite a challenging film career. And then he went to these, well, what were then miniseries, which I suppose these days you wouldn't even sniff at, a five-part TV show.
But yeah, there was so much less choice then.
Yes.
Something that was exported globally. Everybody saw it, you know. Shogun and the Thornbirds had such a massive international reach.
It's hard to believe how huge the Thornbirds was.
Yeah, and
it?
When you look at it, the story is really ropey, isn't it? Ropey as heck. Like a priest, Ralph de Bricasaur. I say, I remember these characters. I didn't have to do any research on this, Martin. It's all in there from when I was 10 and it was on the telly.
You've still got your Betamax tapes of it, have you, when you recorded from telly?
Once seen, never forgotten.
Yeah.
And it was... Really? Ward as the young... Barbara Stanwyck was in that?
She was, yep, yeah.
Sims? No, not Jean Sims. I get my Jeans mixed up.
Jane?
I want to say... let's have a look.
Quickly.
I can't do it
I'm
quickly.
Covering for you.
There were Jean Simmons.
Jean Simmons, yes.
Was in that. So a lot of like... But Barbara Stanwyck going face to face with... Richard Chamberlain, and she wanted the priest. He was the hot priest, the first hot priest.
And then you have to, you have to bring that in. You know, two, let's say, gay actors there together.
Yes,
you know,
and they weren't out.
They weren't out
at that time.
No. I mean, Chamberlain was gay, but obviously in the times in which he lived, you couldn't come out and announce that. And similarly, Stanwyck had always had the reputation of being gay, or certainly a gay icon.
Mm.
So looking at it now, there's all sorts of subtext the Thornbirds. The other thing about Chamberlain is he was very frustrated about the sort of work he'd been getting. And in the 70s, he makes a number of quite challenging films. He's in The Music Lovers for
Ken
Russell. Now, that's a departure from Dr. Kildare, I can tell you. And he also stars in a great film by the Australian director Peter Weir called The Last Wave, which is... an amazing film about an apocalyptic film about a lawyer defending some Aboriginals in Sydney who have been caught up in a murder involving ancient Aboriginal rites and artifacts. And as the film builds up, it sets up this really horrible sense of dread that something terrible is going to happen, and you're left at the end of the film on the beach as it's about to happen. It's a strikingly powerful film, and he's great in it.
He's also great in The Towering Inferno. There's range there, come on.
Yes, I watched that for the first time the other year, and I could. It was like the contempt with which some people would dispatch. I mean, he just gets chucked out of the building, you know, what? You mean he's gone?
We've got a lot of big names to fit in here.
Jennifer Jones, where did she... Oh, she went ages ago. You must have missed that. So, going back to Richard Chamberlain's recording career, talk for a bit and I'll try and get this...
Well, I remember him also in The Slipper and the Rose.
Oh, yes.
Because that was on a lot when I was a kid, on a Saturday morning. Which is like your Cinderella story, really. That was like, 1970s, mid-70s, I think? But it was on TV a lot when I was a kid.
And you say he was Aramis in the Three Musketeers. Yeah.
King Solomon's Mines.
Oh, that was a stinker.
Well, the follow-up was definitely a stinker. I can't even remember what it was called, and most of the cast, apart from him, didn't turn up.
Sharon Stone in King Solomon's
Mines? Yeah, I think so. Alan Quatermain and...
Oh, yes. Alan Quatermain
and
the cheese sandwich of doom.
Yeah, it was a that got raspberries. That got raspberries. That one.
Right, so as you say, he has quite often branched out into music for teeny boppers, for the kids, just like William Shatner did, obviously. And this is...
Oh, another show, another Shatner
reference. He had a couple of hits, and this was his first hit, which is actually the theme from Dr. Kildare, which some of you might remember as a sort of buried, suppressed memory once the tune starts playing out. Theme from Dr. Kildare, Three Stars Will Shine Tonight. I hope this is going to be the track that comes on.
Fingers crossed.
Three stars will shine tonight, one for the lonely. That star will shine its light each time that someone sighs. Three stars for all to see, one for young lovers. That star was made to be the sparkle in their eyes. And for the third star, only one reason. A star you can wish on to make dreams come true. High in the sky above, three stars are shining. I hope that star of love will shine down on you. The third star, only one reason. A star you can wish on to make dreams come true. High in the sky above, three stars are shining. I hope that star shine down on you.
Ah, you're listening to the film show on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM. And that was the recently deceased Richard Chamberlain there, and the theme music from Dr. Kildare, one of his major hits in the early 60s. Next.
And it's another farewell.
Another farewell.
Val Kilmer died this week at the age of 65. He'd had some, well, he'd recovered from throat cancer, had treatment from about 10 years ago. Hadn't really been seen much of, apart from a very interesting documentary that he made, or his family made with him.
Called Val. Yeah.
I think it was out 2019. Was it just before COVID? It feels like
I think it was. He had amassed a huge library of video. He had been recording his family and his work since he was a young teenager.
Yeah, he had very intellectual aspirations.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Val Kilmer, and he was a very talented actor, but also quite challenging to be around. I think to work with, maybe one of the method. He was very, very young when he got into. In fact, he applied to go to RADA, but he was too young to get in. But he got into Juilliard as well, the famous New York Performing Arts.
Was he the youngest person ever to be
admitted 17,
into that?
Yeah,
yeah.
So obviously a bit of a precocious talent there, and also not bad looking, you know. He had those proper,
he had the look, yeah.
My favourite of his films is his first big hit, which was Top Secret, which I have rewatched this week.
Which is a great little film, isn't
it? Ties in with the Naked Gun strand, really, as well, that we were talking about earlier. It's just such a silly film and such good fun. And then he had a massive leg up with his part as the Iceman in Top Gun.
Yeah, even though he was like second banana.
He was the bad guy. You thought he was the good guy kind of thing. Well, not the bad guy, but the foil to, let's
and
say,
and in some ways that's
character.
Sort of like Harry's career went. He never got into that real top echelon, did he? Like,
well, I don't know, he had his moments. I think, like, The Doors with Oliver Stone.
Yeah,
when
but it
he
wasn't
played Jim
like,
Morrison.
Yeah.
He was really, really well praised for that film. And, you know, he properly did the method, thrown himself in, recorded all of the songs.
He lived the part, didn't he? Yeah. But he never sort of took then that leap to be where someone like Cruise or maybe Clooney got to. And
He did a Batman.
He did a Batman.
But he didn't fancy doing any more Batman.
No.
And a lot of, I mean, I have to confess, I've never actually seen this classic film. I think I came home from the pub once and fell asleep watching it. But Willow means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, I've never seen Willow. And that was where him and his wife, Joanne Whaley, got, even though he had first seen her at the Royal Court Theatre when he was in London making Top Secret, they got together on that and had a, sometimes tempestuous marriage, but
they had a few children.
They had two children, Mercedes and Jack, who helped making
the documentary. Yeah. And of course, he often gets sort of forgotten for his part in Heat because it was the big Pacino, De Niro headlines, but he was very, very good in that as well.
Unfortunately, one film overshadows everything from that period. The Island of Dr. Moreau.
I have a couple of quotes. Well, if you're on a film and Marlon Brando thinks your behaviour is problematic,
you know you're in trouble.
Brando was quoted as saying something along the lines of his co-star had confused his level of talent with the size of his paycheck. But the best quotes come from John Frankenheimer, the director. And, I mean, you've got more stories on that film.
I mean, all I'd say is that the film seemed to be a disaster from start to finish. The British director, Richard Stanley, who was hot at the time, after he'd done Hardware and Dust Devil, was given big budget, go to Australia, make this huge film based on the H.G. Wells novel. And he was thrown off the film after 3 days. He was fired. And there are apocryphal stories that he insinuated himself back on set as one of the extras in all this heavy makeup. And that's just one of the stories about what went on. But the main stories seem to be the truly awful behaviour of Kilmer, who during the production, and his overbearing arrogance, it would seem, and refusal to collaborate, let's say. But you've got some great quotes here, haven't you?
Well, John Frankenheimer.
Frankenheimer came in and took over.
I don't like his work ethic, and I don't want to be associated with him ever again. Even if I was directing a film called The Life of Val Kilmer, I wouldn't have that prick in it. But to
did
which
that go out on the film's poster?
But he himself was a little bit more pragmatic in his older age.
Yeah.
Said I never had a business plan. I did actually, I'm lying. My business plan was to get lucky. And I did. That was great. And then my second business plan was to get lucky again. And there I faltered.
And so he, I think he has a great period with some of his best work. He's about a 2 year period, 2003, 2004, where Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, where he plays Gay Perry, a marvellous little performance. Mm. And my personal favourite film of his is David Mamet's Spartan, which is, I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's, and it's Kilmer working with, you know, possibly one of America's greatest dramatists and directors there, and I think really finding a role which really managed to utilise his real talents. And then after that, he went into straight-to-DVD hell, starring in about 20-odd straight-to-DVD movies with Vinnie Jones, Luke Goss and 50 Cent. It's a really depressing set of movies that he made.
It was lovely that he had a little bit of a swan song with the Top Gun Maverick film.
It's a very affecting moment, isn't it?
He comes back as like the chief of
admiral,
rank is. Yeah. But at that time, he's after the throat cancer treatment. He doesn't have a voice; he has a voice box. And it's a lovely example of Hollywood honouring somebody.
So that's it for that. I'm going to get back. I'm just going to go and put my swimming trunks on.
And surround yourself with a bevy of lovely ladies.
I am.
With Italian long legs.
With Italian long legs. So, party on.
My lady's door.
I forgot. I've got to move it on because, when I did the thing.
Yeah, one more.
Think I'm there.
Try that one again.
Should I try that one again?
Yeah, go on.
It's a laugh this
week.
Fagli capire quello che vuoi. A far l'amore comincia tu. A far l'amore comincia tu. sue paure di quel momento le fai scoppiare soltanto.
Did you enjoy that? I did.
It's not often I see you dancing with four Italian women.
Could you go now, please?
Yeah. Get out of my studio.
That was Far L'Amore by Raffaella Cara, the Bob Sinclair Club Mix. And that was from the incredibly awesome party sequence from The Great Beauty, filmed by Paolo Sorrentino. You're listening to The Film Show, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM, and Denise is coming in with her reviews.
I've been to the cinema this week.
I haven't.
Well, do you know, there's a couple of... So the big releases I'm not really bothered about. Death of a Unicorn I haven't been to see. It looks good fun if you like that kind of thing. But I went to see a couple of more interesting little films. So I saw Four Mothers, which is... Well, it's about a middle-aged gay man, single, living with his mammy, his Irish mammy. She's had a stroke, so she's recovering from a stroke, and he's become a full-time carer. He's also a novelist, and a novel that he wrote a few years ago now is getting a bit of a TikTok boost, and he's getting some interest from America. Uh-huh. So this could be his big thing, but he has crippling anxiety and doesn't really know how to sell himself in interviews. So this is all going on, and he has two friends who are both similar age, gay, and looking after their own mammies. And they basically dump their mammies on him. And so does his psychologist friend, who's meant to be giving him support. He also dumps his mummy on him so they can go off to this gay pride event over in Spain. it doesn't sound much fun, but it's a really, really heartwarming and funny film. So his mother, who's played by a really well-known Irish actress called, is it Fionnuala? I can't remember her name. That's terrible. She plays his mother who's had who's in her 90s. She's had a stroke. She doesn't speak. Oh, it's Fionnuala Flanagan. Mm-hmm. So she cannot speak, but she speaks instead by use of a touchpad, a screen iPad type thing. These other three women come into their lives, into their pokey three-bed house, and they've all got quite, where it could be, oh no, I'm stuck with old people. They've all got an interesting, distinctive personality from each other, and it's just a really fun little film, a really nice hour and a half in the cinema. I highly recommend it. Four mothers.
That's the magic words I like to hear, an hour and a half. It truly is so much time that we've wasted in cinemas over the past, especially over the past few years, you know, these films drag on.
It's good fun and it's got a good heart to it. Literally 1 hour 29 as well, so it's even under the half.
I had seen her in something recently, Fionnuala Flanagan. Mm. She was in Bodkin. I don't know if you watched that. It was an Irish TV series. It was on one of the streaming channels.
You'll know, she's one of those actresses, you'll know her face.
Yeah.
As soon as you see her. And it's interesting, actually, that she's a, you know, such an experienced actor and she's in a film where she doesn't use her voice.
Mm.
It's quite a challenging thing, but she is excellent. Absolutely excellent. They all are. Highly recommend it.
You got anything else?
Yes. I went to see Misericordia, which I thought it was just a French word, but it's a Latin word that means mercy, compassion and clemency.
Is this the Francoise Ozon?
No, that was... Although, like the Francoise Ozon film that I reviewed the other week, The Autumn When Autumn Falls, there involves a French rural... champignon in the forest. There is lots of mushrooms to do in this one. But this is kind of a thriller.
A mushroom thriller?
Well, there's not much room for anything else. Oh, sorry.
Thanks, Ryers.
It starts off the premise, okay, a young man is coming back to a very small rural town. He's driving into it's more of a village, really. The local baker has died. And he obviously, it transpires, he used to work there. The mother or the wife of the baker and has a son. And basically he's just sort of, as he's visiting, he just sort of stays. They invite him to stay for the night because he's had a wine. And then he kind of stays a bit longer and nobody's really sure why, but the mother's quite pleased to have him there. But the son, who they were friends, is resentful. He makes a weird sort of pass at a neighbouring farmer. Is there some sexual tension between him and the mother, him and another guy? It goes into this story that you're just not sure what's going to happen. Mm. It's very gently told. There's some very tense scenes in it. And there's a priest who wanders in, who also seems to have desires on this man. It is, you'd never really know what any character's thinking or going to do.
Yeah.
It's a very gentle. There is a murder in it as well, and it's sort of covering up that murder. Sorry about that. There is car action, but not action. They move in a car, but there's no chasing. It's a really, really intriguing little film, and I still don't quite know how I feel about it. Because when it ends, you're like, oh, okay. But I know it's one of those films I'm going to remember scenes from, and it's going to play on my mind again. So that's showing at the showroom this week, and I do recommend it, but not if you like... fast action. if you want that, go and see Death of a Unicorn.
Yeah. I recommend it, but you won't like it. So
No, I think it's probably...
But you have to sort of sometimes... I know films I've seen and I've really liked, and like you, I think no one else is going to like this.
Well, I think they might. I just think it's very French. But it's also...
Très Français.
But it's also very, like... When you think one character might react in this way and then they don't. and it, quite a lot of the characters just surprise you by being, well, like the title says, compassionate instead and understanding. And I do recommend it.
I'll go for it. I'm going to take your word on it. Yeah.
It's something different.
You've intrigued me.
Yeah, it's something different. Go for something different. You don't always want the same stuff, do you?
Exactly. We don't on here, do we? I mean, we're openly hostile to films that people might like.
The six-minute disco track you just played.
I've got more of them here in reserve. I had no idea what we were going to do today. And we managed to fill up quite a lot of the time roaming around this CD as well and playing them in the wrong order. Do you want another piece? Sorry, have you got any more reviews to do?
There are a couple of more films that are still showing that we haven't reviewed that are worth a mention. So there's Santosh, which is the Indian film. Yeah. Santosh, which is not Sean Connery. So Santosh. that's still playing at the show in front of the week, and I recommend that for a catch-up. It has its moments of directorial brilliance. Mm. It's possibly a little bit long. But that's the one about the young woman who's widowed, and she takes on her husband's job in the police force and learns about misogyny in a whole new way. And also La Cocina, The Kitchen, the American film about the immigrants working in a kitchen. I caught up with that this week. It's really good. Mm. It's really action wise. It all takes place. No, not all filmed in one take. It's not Boiling Point. So you might like it.
There you go. Another piece of music from a Paolo Sorrentino film, and this is from Youth, a film from a few years back with Michael Caine and Harvey Keitel and Jane Fonda. Not my favourite of his, but there is some nice music in it. And this is You Got the Love by, let me read this correctly, the Retrosets sister band. Well, I hope that's the track I'm going to play.
We'll see.
Sometimes I feel like throwing my hands up in the air. I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. You got the love I need to see me through.
You got the love I need to see me through.
You got the love.
I have.
There. You do.
I have.
You really
I've got
the
do.
Love. Thank you for that. By the Retrozettes Sisters Band, and that was from the soundtrack of Paolo Sorrentino's Youth. So, next week, is there anything I could go and see?
Is there anything you might be excited about?
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure for you, Martin.
For me.
I don't know.
It's going to be a very, very narrow corridor.
I mean, I don't think The Amateur looks like one for you. It's Rami Malek in some kind of terrorist...
No.
I mean, we haven't even mentioned Minecraft, which is out this week. Good luck with that first.
No, leave that.
There's one to one, John and Yoko.
No, not
even Kevin McDonald doing that documentary. There is something for you at the light.
Go on.
La Haine's 30th anniversary rewind screenings are on. So there's a couple of screenings of those you might want to catch. You might like that.
Well, the thing is, that used to have the greatest shot in cinema, but of course, now we have drones. That shot is no longer quite as special.
The light is screening that next Friday and
but
Saturday.
But it is an amazing film.
Yeah. What else have we got? You know, I don't want that. There is an anniversary screening of Muriel's Wedding this weekend, which is one for me. The showroom have got a couple of interesting looking films coming up. The Holy Cow, which seems to be... It's got trigger warnings on this film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love a trigger
so
warning.
So the cheese tasting event that goes with The Holy Cow takes place on Friday the 11th of April. The rest of the screenings will simply be of the film. But please be aware, this is French cheese, so it'll be unpasteurised and not vegetarian.
I was just going to say, is this a trigger warning for vegans? And it would seem that it is.
No, not just vegans, vegetarians.
Vegetarian,
not even vegetarians. This cheese is not for you. But anyway...
Abandon all hope, all ye that eat here.
But it looks like a fun film. It says it's about an 18-year-old who spends most of his time drinking beer and partying with his friends until he has to take care of his 7-year-old sister and find a way to make a living. And that way of making a living is cheese! That looks fun.
You sold it to me. You sold me that one.
But also, I'm quite looking forward to a film called Last Swim, which was the winner of the Crystal Bear at the Berlin Festival. It's like an Iranian English girl living in London, and it seems to be one day on exam results day. And it looks like a really excitingly filmed film that's out on Friday. Also due for release on Friday, but I can't find any Sheffield listings until the week after, is The Return, the Roberto Pasolini film that reunites Ralph Fiennes and Juliette Binoche, who I love both individually and together. The English Patient is one of my favourite films, so I don't even care if it's getting middling reviews. I'm going to
You're
see
going
that.
You're going to see that. Right, well, in that case, then, let's wrap up this week with... a final track from Paolo Sorrentino. This is from Loro. It's Down in the Street by the Stooges. So,
I love this song.
I know. It's really, play this one loud. And, well, enjoy your week. I'm going to try and find some salvation in cinema because at the moment I'm completely bereft right now.
Come on, I've given you some cheese.
I know. I'm going to buy some cheese. But I don't know if it will work with every film. So, enjoy your films. You all set for the week?
Yep, gonna be a good one.
Let's get down.